In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen.
Christos
voskrese.
Christos
anesti. Times like these, that especially a pastor, especially a priest, hears things in the services and they just kind of reach out and touch his soul. And there's always something about his flock, something about the people he ministers to, and himself, of course, because he is an unclean man helping people to become clean. He's a sinner helping other sinners not to sin. He's a person with infirmities that God says, go take care of those with infirmities. So I hear the services in the light of who I am, but also that I have ministry, despite my sins, to help you in some way, however it can be, if God allows it, despite my sins. So I hear things in the services all the time, or I feel them. Sometimes it's not something I hear. Sometimes it's maybe not hearing something, silence, or hoping there's silence when there isn't silence. So before the service, before the bringing of the light, we're waiting, right? And, you know, people are people. What do? People chatter and people, you know, talk to each other, and there's this sort of murmur and hubbub and everything. But there really should be a deep silence at that time. And I'm not rebuking anybody, because people are people. We are what we are, aren't we? You know, we make so many mistakes, and we are what we are. But God brings us to perfection. During that time, I was thinking that we are sort of emulating the waiting that the myrrh-bearing women were doing. We'll talk about them in two more weeks, two more Sundays from now. And they were going on an errand to a dead man, so they thought. But he was alive, right? So their errand was not ever going to turn out, because Christ was already alive and was already out of the grave. But they did not know this. So they went with what they had, and they gave the Lord what they had. And then they saw that he was resurrected. I think this principle happens all the time in our life, where we can only give the Lord what we have. Now, if we don't give the Lord what we have, then we are very much, very much at risk. It's very dangerous to not to give the Lord what you have. You must give him what you can. If you can do something, you should do it. In fact, you must do it. If you cannot do something, the Lord does not hold you accountable for what you cannot do. Why am I talking like this today? Because I heard the irmos for the canon, both we sang it last night and tonight, that canon for Good Friday, which is so beautiful, the Good Friday Matins. It's so beautiful, so wonderful. What it said is this, and the last phrase really, really hit my soul. And I want to tie it into the resurrection, because, of course, today we're celebrating the resurrection. But I think we always must celebrate the resurrection soberly, not just with frivolity. And it's happiness is good, and sausage is good, and crying out Christ is risen, and mispronouncing Chinese, and all those things are good, okay? That's fine, right? The excitement of the children, all these things. But we must learn how to celebrate soberly as well, to have something just touch our heart. And this touched my heart. So it was about Jonah. If you know the odes, the sixth ode of the canon is always about, or almost always about, Jonah. Caught but not held in the belly of the whale was Jonah, for bearing the image of thee who had suffered and was given burial, he came forth from the monster as from a bridal chamber. And he called out to the watch, O you who keep watch, who keep guard falsely and in vain, ye have forsaken your own mercy. Of course, this is kind of anachronistic, right? The Jonah's calling out to the watch before the tomb. And of course, he didn't call out to that watch. But poetically, he's calling out by being in the belly of the fish for 3 days and then rising out of the fish as the Lord would rise from the dead from the cave. And of course, there was a watch. And that watch was only concerned with one thing, being pagan soldiers. They had forsaken their own mercy. Now, how do we think about this phrase? I would prefer to turn it a little bit differently, okay? Instead of saying they have forsaken their own mercy, that's very negative, that's terrible. Who wants to forsake mercy? How about that we understand that mercy is the greatest motivator? Because what is mercy? Mercy is God presenting himself to us, God working through us, God becoming man, rising from the dead, and giving us life. That's mercy. And we don't want to forsake that mercy. We want, based on that mercy, to be more than conquerors, to change. And I will tell you that each one of you, almost certainly, every single person in this room has a tomb, or maybe multiple tombs, where you think there is a dead man in that tomb. There's something that just is not working out for you. It never did. Or maybe it's just started to not work out. It doesn't look like it's going to get better. Whether it's with you or a loved one or work situation or whatever it is. When you're a priest, you have a lot of tombs, I'll tell you. But even when you're a layperson, there's a lot of things that it's hard for us to say, this is going to be okay, right? The myrrh-bearing women didn't think it was going to be okay. They just wanted to go to anoint the Lord because they loved him. They had no idea that he was alive. Can you imagine as they're walking and he's alive, but they don't know it yet? I think that's happening to you and me, where we are alive, but we don't really know it yet. The resurrection has to play out in our life. It has to, we just have to work through it. Because the resurrection is occurring now for us. It's not a future event. Martha thought it was a future event when Jesus came and was going to raise Lazarus. She didn't know he would. So she said, if you were here, he wouldn't have died. And then he said, I'm the resurrection. He says, she says, I know that there will be a resurrection in the next life. No, the resurrection's now. Okay? So the resurrection is occurring for us now. So how does this tie in to Jonah telling the watch that they had forsaken their own mercy? If we know of God's mercy, how can we forsake him? Can't we change? Can't everything about us change? Even the horrible things, can't they change? Do you believe this? This is true. It can happen. It takes work. It takes labor. I was thinking when I heard this phrase of the canon of Mary of Egypt, someone who did not forsake her own mercy. God reached out to her. She'd been living 17 years of heedless life, not thinking about God at all, never uttering a prayer, only living a life of complete depravity. As she said in her life, when she said it to Zosimus, that she thought that lying in filth was life. And when she couldn't come into the church to venerate the cross, she had a moment where she understood that she was unclean. God gave her mercy. He illuminated a little recess of her heart to show her how unclean she was. She promised to the Mother of God, if she could go into the church and venerate the cross of her son, then she would go wherever she told her to go. And indeed that happened. And then she was in the desert for 47 years before Zosimus saw her. And after 17 of those years, she became like an angel, living like an angel. She didn't forsake her own mercy. We all have moments like this. So we celebrate Pascha. It's beautiful. But later on, we'll take our Paschal baskets, go to the hall and eat. Be wonderful. Tomorrow, we'll have a cookout. We'll cook burgers and all these things. It'll be wonderful. It'll be fantastic. But the resurrection has to occur in you daily and in your heart. If it does, then you have not forsaken your own mercy. Because God is giving mercy to you all the time. We have to be aware of this. It's happening constantly. Maybe you won't have that kind of moment like St. Mary of Egypt had. But I tell you, you will have moments. And you have to be ready for those moments and to embrace those moments and struggle. And if you don't give God what you can, you are forsaking your own mercy. Now, sometimes we're very lazy. That's forsaking our own mercy. If you're not kind to someone, even though your heart kind of is a little bit twisting inside, you're forsaking your own mercy. If you're not honest in your heart and your heart feels something, you're forsaking your own mercy. But especially, I think, besides all of these sins, these discrete events that happen in our life, if you don't strive to be perfected by God and know that that's the whole purpose of your life and the resurrection makes it possible, that's the only thing that makes it possible, is that Christ was resurrected. If you don't do that, then you're forsaking your own mercy. And what a shame it is for a person to live a life and then to die. Because we weren't made to die, were we? We were made to be alive. So this is the resurrection. So may God bless you. May God help you to not forsake your own mercy. Let's turn it around, though, like I said. Let's not say not forsake our own mercy. How about that? Let us live by God's mercy, huh? Let us breathe his mercy. Let us feel his mercy, as Job said regarding the Spirit, in our nostrils, so close to us. And then we can change. And there is nothing that we cannot do. Do you believe this? This is true. Christ is risen.
True.
Christos voskrese.
Christos
anesti.